So hello everyone. I guess we are live now. Welcome to the third episode of the All About FPL podcast, or the third stream. So this is the first of the team preview series. And I'm your host Aditya, and I'm joined by three special panelists or guests. So we have FPL Penguin, Calvin, a fellow YouTuber and a Liverpool fan, FPL Rebound, and Suresh, who's going to be my co-host in the next few episodes onwards. Now he's getting up to speed with podcasting, and he's going to cover Man United. Then we have Sankalp, who is an Arsenal fan, one of the very, what we can say, excellent members of the Indian FPL community, who managed a great finish last season. We have high expectations, and we hope your opinions will be valuable today. So what's on show today? So let's go straight away. These are going to be our key talking points. So we're going to start club-wise, basically, with Arsenal, followed by Liverpool, and then United. We're going to basically talk about how each team is going to play, how their preseason performances have been, who are the new players that have joined in, how they're going to adapt, how they're going to mix and match with their new fellow teammates. Then we're going to analyze the first 8 game week fixtures, because that's what people are looking more at, because the season is completely based on breaks with World Cup in between. Then we're going to lastly speak about the players to target, avoid, few gems, differentials, and then some prediction segment towards the end if we have enough time about where we're going to finish and all. So straight away, we're going to Arsenal. So Sankalp, who are these players here? What do we know more about them? Like who are we expecting to play a major role this season?
I think one of the issues last year with Arsenal was, especially towards the end, was the lack of depth, right? So a lot of these signings are basically adding depth. Marquinhos is someone who will go to the academy. I don't expect him to play a lot in the coming season because we lost a couple of players from our academy. So he's going to go there, you know, start working out there. Fabio Vieira comes in as a solid bench option for us. He can play multiple regions, be it, you know, as a number 10 player, instead of Odegaard or as a backup for Odegaard. He can also play as a backup RW for Saka's backup, right? So he's primarily a player who has got explosive potential if you look at his last season's records. But at the same time, I expect him to start as a bench player and then push on and see, you know, maybe take over someone's place as well, right? Matt Turner, very similar. He's going to be our backup goalkeeper, with Leno expected to move to Fulham. But Gabriel Jesus is the player to, you know, talk about. He's going to come in as a starting player for us, striker. A position that we really required something last season itself. We could not get someone, we could not get our players out. But looking at the preseason, even, you know, it has surprised me how quickly he has got on board, how quickly he's in sync with the players and scoring goals. Zinchenko is the latest addition. We all know how good or bad Tierney's record is when it comes to injuries. So Zinchenko will be our backup left back. He again is a versatile player, can play on the midfield as well, left-sided. But I expect us to see a lot more of Zinchenko than we have seen in Man City. Solid, solid footballer. I'm really excited to see all of them.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, these signings, especially the last with Jesus and Zinchenko, turned out to be good ones. And it's like Mikel Arteta also was an assistant manager at Pep in Man City. So he's got two players who he knows very well, and probably they can adapt well under him at Arsenal. So next, we go on to style of play, because we have seen last time, or last season, in fact, that Arsenal have played multiple different formations, 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1, a back three, a back five, with, you know, William Saliba also back. And we are hearing that he might play a bigger role this season and be a starting centre back. So what formation we are kind of expecting Arsenal to stick most to? I think yesterday, or rather today early morning, they beat Chelsea 4-0, and I think they played a back four, I think with Ben White as a right back or something. So can you take us through that?
Yeah, so from formation wise, it will be a combination of 4-2-3-1 and 4-3-3. So it depends on how we utilise Odegaard. But more or less, everything else is more or less fixed from a position point of view. Saliba comes in, which is a very strong addition. He's already, last year, he was one of the, I think, young player of the year for French League. And he's looking solid already. Tomiyasu, again, is injured. He's yet to return from, last year's injury. And he's expected to join in next week, is what Arteta said today in his presser. So Ben White has played in right back. And I think he complements Zinchenko very well. You know, Zinchenko moves inward as an inside fullback. So Ben White is our outward fullback rather than having someone with Tomiyasu who's again an inside fullback, right? So this combination we might see a lot because of Tierney's injury. Zinchenko is now very much expected to start the season. And that's why I feel that Ben White will again start and it will be a four at the back, at least for the foreseeable future.
Okay, guys, do you have any other questions you want to ask Sankalp regarding to style of play?
I might jump in with one. I don't know. Well, because we know like Saka and Martinelli, you know, probably going to be, you know, key players, should we say, just behind Jesus. You know, they're going to have a really good attack. We've seen it so far in friendlies with Jesus, Saka, Martinelli linking up well. It's going to be interesting, I think, for FPL. I think going at least two Arsenal attackers is a must. I feel like for the fixtures ahead as well, got to take full advantage of that. And on the defensive side as well, Zinchenko, you know, who's playing start at left back, replacing Tierney because I think the injury. And you know, do you see Zinchenko slowly moving into being a centre defensive midfielder, or do you think he'll still stick as a challenge Tierney for a left back spot? Or
so a lot has been spoken about Zinchenko, but I expect him to more or less take the left back role, primarily because the club is still in the market to buy another midfielder, and that is supposed to be a left sided midfielder. So be it, you know, the name of Tielemans has been very closely, you know, associated with Arsenal this window. And I expect someone to come in, be it Tielemans or be it someone else. So Zinchenko, I don't think he will take that, you know, OP position for us playing as a midfielder. I expect him to start as a left back. But the thing is, with the kind of play that he brings in, I expect him to be a good FPL asset. The only thing is, once Tierney comes in, we do not know how exactly Arteta will rotate. So if you're looking for a short term, say 3 to 4 weeks time, Zinchenko is a good way to start with. Because after, I think game week 5 is when the Europa fixtures start. And given Tierney's long injury, I expect him to go by the Europa route before coming in to, you know, Premier League. So this might give us some time if we are starting with Zinchenko. But overall, from a style of play point of view, I would like to say is Arsenal have started, you know, providing better and better attacking numbers over the last season. And I expect this to progress even further. Something that we have seen in the preseason, there's a lot of combinations going up front, right? And the style is much more fluid in nature. So that also might lead to some sort of sacrifice at the back, right? The number of clean sheets that we used to see, say last to last year when it came to Arsenal, last year we did not see it primarily because of this, because Arsenal started going full on attack. And I expect the same to continue. So I think, like you said, two attacking players from Arsenal is the way to go. Then the third defensive player is someone you need to choose, pick and choose, depending on the price bracket that you're looking at.
So you were talking about a few of the Arsenal numbers. So here are some of the numbers from last season. So it's on screen. So as Sankalp was saying, right, they kept 13 clean sheets. That was the third best in the league last season, just considered 48 goals. You know, they created a lot of chances last time. And defensively also, they look good. As you said, right, the more they go offensive-wise, they're going to start leaking goals at the back. That's what the worry is always, right? When you start offensively, you know, bombarding a lot. So, yeah, go ahead.
So, if you look at the overall stats, that comes across, right? We create a lot of small chances, actually. So, if you see, XG-wise, we are a bit lower. We are, I think, fifth best. When the number of goals we scored, even XG was low, even big chances for us was relatively low. But we keep on creating a lot of small chances. And the good thing is we have started taking a lot of time in opposition's final third, right, compared to the season before. Now we are constantly in and around the box and there's always a chance of someone coming in. So with the current formation, I think Martinelli is someone to really look at because he comes in as a 6 million midfielder. Getting someone starting winger at Arsenal at that price. We saw it last season when we got Bukayo Saka right at that price. So the potential is really high. But I would say focus on the wingers, be it Saka, be it Martinelli. They will continue to be the key assets when it comes to FPL. Of course, Gabriel Jesus is someone to look at. And given the price that we're getting him only at 8 million as a forward, I can understand why there's a high, really high, you know, ownership to begin with, at least. I expect it to go down slowly and slowly. And also with, you know, more and more managers getting registered. We still have, I think, we have only one third of the managers who have registered into FPL. Still around 60% of the managers yet to register. But Saka, Martinelli and Jesus are someone to really look at, looking at the stats, because attacking-wise, we will be there this year.
So next, we'll move on to some of the preseason results. So these are the results so far. And I think they beat Chelsea in the Florida Cup 4-0. That was the latest game that was played early morning. And I think probably Arsenal fans are very happy that they've got an early edge over Chelsea this season.
So, if you look at this season's preseason, it is exactly the inverse of last season's preseason. Last year, we did not win a single game in our preseason. And people have forgotten that, because slowly, slowly, we started doing well in the season. And people forgot how our preseason was and how the fans were agitated seeing those fixtures. So, this year, the good thing about us, I am not taking the Chelsea result a lot, right? Like Arteta said, it's a friendly, it's a test. We passed, let's move on. But the idea for us is to see how well the team has gelled. And that has come out very well. If you see all the matches, right, we have conceded in almost in say three of these five matches. But you see the number of goals that we kept on scoring. It's about habit, right? And we already see players like Eddie Nketiah. We see Gabriel Jesus after he came on. Bukayo Saka already getting into the habit of scoring goals. So, you see these numbers, right? You can see the top 3-4 players who will play at the front, right? With Odegaard bombing in or running into the box. Everyone is getting into goals or assists. So this is something really good for me to look at, because you can sense that there is a sense of cohesion in your attacking players already getting into the season.
All right, then. So we have a couple of questions also regarding Arsenal. So I think let's kind of keep it towards the end of this Arsenal segment. It's wherein we talk about the players to pick and all those in one bracket. So let's keep it there. So we have a couple of questions, and so we'll go to the next slide. That's basically looking at the fixtures. So what do the fixtures kind of hint to you, Sankalp, here? Because I think people are already looking at Gabriel Jesus as one of the forward options, or maybe Saka in the midfield, and then one defender. So maybe just doubling up from Arsenal is the sensible, or rather be, you know, fiery and go triple up.
I am again in a 50-50 situation, right? Primarily because the forward option has so much competition this year. I think last year we had it completely dry. This year you already have Kane, Haaland, you know, taking those prime seats, and then you have a player like Martial suddenly coming out of nowhere. But Gabriel Jesus is a solid option to have, because he will score goals early. That's what something we can already see. The fixtures are good, you know. Again, Friday night, Palace away. I think it's the best way to start, because Palace are currently shaky, right? They have not gotten players yet. The manager is not very happy. If you look at the squad which went for the preseason matches, they had only 15 to 16 players, right? So they are not a well-settled squad. So if you're going for an away match to Palace, this might be the best time for you to go. I have a good feeling about it. Primarily looking at the fixtures, you know, even if you are not really starting with Arsenal double, I think at this when we go for Bournemouth away, right, by that time you should be getting into the zone. The good thing is if you're going for Jesus, you can balance it with a 6 million Martinelli rather than going it with 2-8 million players, right? 16 million might be a bit too much to risk putting into the Arsenal bucket. But with 8 million and 6 million combination, that works out really, really well. You know, you have more or less everything covered when it comes to Arsenal attack. Do you balance it up with a defender? Like I said, it depends on the price bracket you are in. Primarily, I like Arsenal defenders because they come into 4.5 million bracket, right? Now, with Tomiyasu out of picture, you know Ben White will be playing at least the initial 2-3 matches. Similarly, that also means Saliba plays, right? So it gives us options to fit in these pieces. But like I said, overall, if you look at this season, I would like to focus on these one or two Arsenal attack, especially the cheap ones. If you get them early, you will continue. You will have them, in spite of the price rises, right? Because Bukayo Saka, because Martinelli will not stay at 6 million. He's going to become a 6.5 to 7 million player, say 7-8 game weeks later. If you start with him, you have him early. Same with Gabriel Jesus. Looking at the ownership, he will jump immediately the first day. If he scores a goal against Crystal Palace, next morning you are going to wake up to 8.1 million figure, right? So that is very key if you are looking to balance it with big at the back, with Salah, with Kane. These are good players that you can get at reasonable prices, and you can get it before the price rises kicks in.
Okay, so the last segment here for Arsenal is players to target. So I would quickly want you to summarize the players that we need to, the must-have category ones, the ones that are differentials, the ones are hidden gems, and the last bunch who we probably need to avoid or maybe just wait and watch, the watch list.
So, ones to have is definitely Gabriel Jesus, right? He's going to start as our prime forward this year, and I feel he has a good bunch of goals as well as assists this year, because you can already see the link that he has created with other players. So he's the player that I would definitely suggest you start with. The guy who would definitely sign out or surprise people is Martinelli for me. 6 million asset, but there's a lot of ongoing discussion among the Twitter community that, will he start or will Emily Smoothrow start, right? ESR start or Martinelli start? When will they rotate, et cetera, et cetera. One thing that I saw in another podcast, we had a lot of analysis around this. And one thing that they came out with, the moment Arteta starts someone, he continues with that person till that guy loses form or he gets injured and then the other person comes in. So it's not like he likes rotating because of X, Y, Z factors, because of tactics or not. The person who comes in, he starts and continues. ESR is already down with niggles. He's already down with slight injuries and something that we have known for him. So I expect ESR to be brought in again into the Europa League route, and then maybe, he'll be brought back into the squad. But Martinelli has a free run for 4 to 5 game weeks. And those are phenomenal game weeks that Martinelli can exploit. He's the one to watch out for when it comes to, my pick. Who's the player to avoid? I would say Zinchenko for now. I'm taking his name primarily because there's a lot of, discussion around Zinchenko. I would say don't start with him because there's still that gray area, right? Where we have Tierney yet to come back in and then see how they settle in. At the same time, because he plays inside fullback, I don't know how much attacking returns he can provide. So if you're going to Arsenal defense, you have the Saliba, you have the Ben White route, which will give you the same clean sheets, right? So you can save on that 0.5 million. And that is the same reason this year I'll not recommend going for Ramsdale. I would say pick up another keeper because you have a route to Arsenal defense at a cheaper price.
Okay, then. So I think Sankalp has done a great job summarizing all of our doubts. And so let's hop on to a few of the questions. So Srini from All About FPL has a question. So he asks, who will be on penalties when Gabriel Jesus, Saka and Martinelli are all on the pitch?
I think it's Saka. It's not defined yet. So obviously it's just us predicting. Jesus does not have a good record when it comes to penalties. He's also not a very egoistic guy, who will say, I am a striker, I need to take penalties. He doesn't come out like that. So it's down between Saka and Martinelli. Saka took a lot of penalties towards the second half of the season, and I expect him to continue. If Saka is not there, then Martinelli might take that penalty.
Okay, the next question is Martinelli and Gabriel Jesus are they needed? I think it's yes. Is the answer based on
probably,
the discussion?
For me, yes, definitely, 100%.
Okay, then if I've missed out anything, I'm just seeing Saka or Martinelli.
So I would say, looking at the price points, 2 million cheaper, Martinelli. So even if they have, a bit different returns, even if Saka gets involved a bit too much on the goal scoring side, I would say the difference over the next 6 to 8 weeks will not be much, right? At the end of the day, we are now picking players for the next 6 to 8 weeks because we know we'll go and hit our wildcard one early, given the fact that we have an extra wildcard this season, right? So looking at that, I would say save your 2 million, go Martinelli and use it somewhere else.
Well, then I think we've covered up the questions that were related to Arsenal. And if I've missed out anything, please drop it out and we'll kind of cover it towards the end. Now, here's one interesting comment. That's FPL Sandwich Podcast. Say something, Calvin. Say something. And next, we're going to go to Liverpool because now I think he's going to a lot. So that's exactly on time. So new arrivals, we've got Fabio Carvalho from Fulham. Darwin Nunez, a big 100 million signing from Benfica. And Calvin Ramsey. Apparently not the same Calvin, but...
yeah, namesake. Yeah. Three lovely signings. Watching pre-season, started with Fabio. He looks like a really, really good player. He's obviously not going to be a starter. You know, Klopp's trying to mould that Diaz, Nunes and Salah very slowly. But with Fabio, I feel like he's got some comparisons to maybe Coutinho. It could be a new Coutinho for what we used to have with Felipe. I think he's a very good signing, Fabio. And I think, I believe every player that Jurgen signs, I don't doubt anymore, because him and his backroom staff, his coaches and everything, they just know who to bring in. Great scouting. And I think Fabio is at Fulham was such a fantastic talent, and he's got such a great career ahead of him, such a, you know, great future. And I think, you know, he will be at Liverpool for a good couple of years and see what happens. Maybe when Salah does move, maybe next summer, it'll be next summer, or maybe after that, maybe he could be moulded into that position on the right wing. Who knows? So he's been looking good in pre-season. Darwin Nunez getting 4 goals in the last game against a relatively strong RB Leipzig side. He did take a penalty, but there's nothing to worry about there with Mo on the field. Mo Salah was just letting Darwin take it for confidence. And then after that, Nunez scored another 3 goals, didn't he? I think Nunez will be a very good signing. Only time will tell. I think he's starting to slowly settle in now. And I think he could be a big, big signing. Like I said, get Diaz, Nunez and Salah slowly moulded in, become that terrifying trio across Europe and see what happens. But I think Nunez, they were decent goals. You know, he's always right place at right time against RB Leipzig. And I think he could prove to be a very, very good signing this season. And maybe challenge Haaland for the golden boot, but we'll have to see. But I think Nunez is a good call. I can't see him flopping. I think he'll be very good, very, very good this season. And Calvin Ramsey, namesake from Aberdeen. I think it's going to be a bit like, obviously, slowly molded in Calvin Ramsey. He's not going to pip ahead of Trent, obviously. But I think what Jurgen's trying to do now that we've got rid of Williams to Forrest, maybe do something similar. But it will take time, obviously, like how he did with Robertson and Tsimikas, rotate them. But obviously, Trent and Calvin Ramsey, nothing to worry about for any Trent owners out there. I can't see it being obviously for a while, you know, with Tsimikas and like the similar to the Tsimikas and Robertson sort of rotation. But I think Calvin Ramsey, I've been watching a bit of him for Aberdeen highlights. He looks decent, looks good. I really like him, not just because he's named after me as well, Calvin. So that's a good thing that we've got Calvin playing for Liverpool. But yeah, I think he could be a good one. And like I said, I don't ever doubt a Jurgen signing now. He's a very smart manager. He great people to back him up. But yeah, I don't think there'll be any rotation there, obviously, until another season, until see how Calvin Ramsey does. But I think it's a good recruitment. Good signing, decent signing. But Fabio and Darwin Nunez, to me, really looking forward to seeing how they do this season. They've been looking decent, very good in pre-season so far. And I'm really buzzing with these new signings.
Yeah, so next we'll go to style of play. I think based on your comments, Klopp is very happy. If I see your background, there's a painting of, I think, what's that? Behind, Calvin, you have something normal one written. It's a poster of Jurgen Klopp right at the back.
Yeah. So really happy with it. Yeah, it's my backdrop.
So style of play, I think we all know, we've seen Liverpool play over the last few years pretty much the same way, more of gegenpressing and, you know, just catching the opponents in their own half and it's going after them, it's scoring. Are we kind of going to see something different because, you know, Roberto Firmino over the past few years has been called as the pressing machine, and with him kind of now, you know, playing a more of a backdrop role, right? Helping at the squad here and then playing in the crucial games with Nunes also getting integrated. Do we kind of see that they're going to kind of tweak the style of play because Nunes is someone who's quite tall, has a good aerial threat and, you know, play. Is there going to be some tweak there? Because I think with this Diogo Jota, who's not yet back from injury, probably we expect him to be back next week in the Community Shield. So how do we expect things to rotate there?
Yeah, obviously, yeah, there will be rotation, but Jota with this injury that he's got, another injury similar to the one he had last season. So I can't see him making the start of the season, Jota. But Bobby Firmino, you know, he's always played that for Liverpool, that false number nine, getting attacks going, dropping into midfield. He was never that natural number nine, Firmino. And I think this is what we're going to probably have with Nunes now, have a natural number nine, hopefully, something similar to what we had with Fernando Torres. Similarities with Torres, similarities with Luis Suarez. Luis Suarez recommended Liverpool to Nunes and playing a big role for that signing, going to Liverpool. We've got rid of Minamino, we've got rid of Origi, we have got Carvalho, we've got Elliot as well, who I think this is going to be a big season for him as well, Harvey Elliott. Like I said, how I see Jurgen, it will slowly be moulded into, you know, that terrifying trio, that how he wants it, being, you know, Diaz, Nunes and Salah. I see Carvalho maybe getting some games. Jota's still going to be in the fray. He's still going to be, when he is fit, he'll probably be going for that centre-forward role. So maybe with the Champions League or Cup games. So it will be interesting to see how I play. Like Nunes can play on the wing as well. He can play, so there might be some rotation there, not just seeing him play as a proper in between Salah and Diaz as a centre forward. We'll see probably Nunes start and being, you know, drifting on the wing, and then probably see Jota in the middle when he is fit. So Jurgen's got a whole lot of good choice, you know, when everyone's fit, you know, in that attack, good rotation. So it is exciting as a Liverpool fan. As an FPL, I probably stay away from Nunes for now. For 9 million, you know, decent price, but when you can get someone like Diaz for a million cheaper, you know, Diaz more certain to be nailed on, especially with Mane gone. So it will be interesting to see how we will line up for the first game of the season. We have got the Community Shield, so that's another chance to see how we're going to play against Man City as well. So hopefully both teams will be at the strongest and we can get a good idea, how Liverpool are going to be lining up as well. So, yeah, that's it really. Maybe some slight of rotation, that front three, but not on a probably on a regular basis, but like City, pet rotation.
So next we'll go on to... go on, Sakat.
Sorry. One thing I want to ask, Calvin, is... if you look at last season's stats around Nunes and even the preseason friendlies I was looking at, not a great passer, or, you know, he's not been able to connect very cleanly with the people around him, right? How do you see that impact the kind of play that you have? Because earlier you had someone like Jota coming in, or Firmino, both are excellent when it comes to this metric, right? It helps things remain much more flexible. How does things change for someone like Salah, someone like Diaz? Do they get into the assist mode, or do they actually interchange positions?
I see, you know, Diaz and Salah always be, you know, that going bombing down the wing, and just like Diaz will just be like Mane. I still see, you know, getting that possession and then getting possession in the middle of the field, bombing up forward and getting those attacks going. Salah and Diaz were making them runs towards goal. I'm not that worried. I feel, because we were linked heavily with Bellingham. I still think maybe obviously, well, not Bellingham, maybe we could look at another centre midfielder. Would be nice. Maybe obviously much cheaper than Bellingham. And Dortmund aren't willing to sell until summer. That's when his contract's up or something. But I would like to see maybe Liverpool go for somebody, another creative midfielder. Who knows? But at the moment, we've got Henderson. We've got Elliott, who can play in centre mid. We've seen that before he had that injury, I think, last season. He was playing in that sort of centre mid role, and he was doing well there, Harvey Elliott. So I think we've got some good choices, some players who can play out of position, who can play in that midfield, you know, in front of Fabinho. So we've got Thiago, got Curtis Jones there still, who I really do like still, Curtis Jones. You know, he's a Scouser, he's from Liverpool, and I still think he's got another, you know, a big point to prove at Liverpool. And I think we've got some decent, good players. I think we need maybe a bit of experience, a bit more experience. I think with Milner, you know, going, you know, getting older and you know, we need to get some youth in and just try and, well, but some much younger than Milner and obviously get some experience in there. Because I feel like we're lacking something in that midfield a bit more because last season I saw it, lack of creativity. I just wasn't that pleased with the midfield in, just behind the attackers that much. But Fabinho obviously rocking it as always. But I just want to see maybe a signing with a bit more experience just to make, you know, flare things up, you know, spice things up, should we say.
Okay, then so there are a few numbers of Liverpool from last season. I think pretty much everybody who watches the games regularly know that these numbers are justifying that. I mean, they kept a lot of clean sheets and just considered 26 goals, I think 21 clean sheets. And I think both Man City and Liverpool kept the same amount of clean sheets, and they created the second most number of chances, 527, had 729 attempts on goal. That was the best in the league, scored 94 goals, second best, I think, behind Man City, who scored 99. And obviously, Mo Salah was the highest scorer in FPL. And Trent created the most chances. And yeah, so those are a few of the numbers on screen. So next, we move on to the preseason games, right? I mean, the first game didn't go according to plan. Sort of because, to be fair, as a United fan, the first half, Liverpool didn't play their, you know, stronger level. So I think this is kind of, we are being very harsh if we say United kind of cruised. That's not the case. Second half, I think Liverpool kind of played well. Salah had a few chances. So, Kelvin, take us through what you've seen so far in the preseason.
Yeah, the game against Manchester United, that was, you know, I mean, Man United, the way they're building right now, trying to obviously, without Ronaldo now and wherever he's going to now. So they got Sancho and Rashford. We had, like, I saw nothing wrong. I was not worried after that game. We brought on the rest of the lads, Salah, Nunes, everyone else in about the 60th minute, last half an hour of the game. I wasn't worried after that. You know, it was the first game, proper game, first game, should we say, all the lads together, you know, looking for fitness and stuff. You know, I look at that, and that was United's, you know, absolute smashed us there. You know, they haven't smashed us in the league yet compared to last season. But, you know, with Man United before now, I wasn't worried one bit. Like Sir Philip started, and I wasn't worried. I mean, going into the Crystal Palace one, played much better, won 2-0. And then, like I said, with RB Leipzig, they play in their full strength team as well. We started slowly getting better. Like I said, United wasn't worried about. It was all about getting back into fitness at the start of it, and then you could just see we beat Crystal Palace, and then we beat Liverpool. Looking at this season, I'm confident enough we'll still be finishing in that top two. I know Spurs are building well, Arsenal, you know, building well, but I still think we're going to finish in that top two. Like I said, I'd like to see maybe one more signing, but it's Jurgen Klopp at the end of the day. Believe what he does, and I think I'm still confident going to this season. Yeah.
So I think we have you about the title. How confident are you about the title, mate?
What, sorry?
How confident are you about the title? you know, winning the league.
Oh, about the title. It's I think it's going to be obviously Liverpool and City up there again. You know, neck and neck. It's going to be tight again. I can't see City run away with it. I can't say it's going to win it. It's going to be so tight. But Spurs, I need to see a bit more from Spurs. I think what Conte is building, you know, he's doing all right. But I think, like I said, it's going to be Liverpool City again for the title, going for it again. And that's all I'm going to say. I don't know who's going to win it. I'd love Liverpool to win it, but I think it's going to be very, very tight again. City building well. Obviously, we've got rid of Sterling, Zinchenko and all that. But I think it's going to be very tight once again in the title race between the two.
The Haaland factor is something that, you know, keeps the City fans very much interested, right? They feel that it might start creating that gap that they always thought would come into play, you know, in the second or third season of Klopp.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, say that again.
The Haaland factor is something that, you know, we all will be looking into, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think with City, because he scored against Bayern Munich, Haaland, he's the sort of player that's in the right place at the right time, makes those terrifying runs. And don't get me wrong, I think it's great to see him in the Premier League as a football fan. I think he's really good, you know, especially with the quality he has around him with Kevin De Bruyne and Mahrez. He has such much better players around him than he did at Dortmund. And I think, you know, he's going to make those terrifying runs and he's going to terrify defences. He's going to play against much stronger defences than he did in the Bundesliga. He's proved he can score against the best in the Champions League as well. I think he's going to be up there. He's going to be, to me, a 20-plus goal season guy, Haaland. I think he's going to settle in straight away, and that's coming from a Liverpool fan. He's going to be a real handful for defenders. He really is. He's going to really his big presence, being a big character as he is. You know, he's going to be hard to defend against for sure, and. Yeah, I think he's going to play a big role in that title race against Liverpool. So I'm hoping Nunes is getting ready. I hope he is. I'm not that worried, to be honest with you. You know, City go out there, get a big marquee signing. We get somebody, obviously, not as big a name as Haaland. But I think with what I've seen with Nunes, I think he could be. I don't think he'll get probably many goals as Haaland this season. But I think he will be up there and help us get up that table and challenge for that title against City.
Yeah, I think
with Haaland, it's more to do with his injury record as well, right? So that's something which is going to be really key in terms of the overall scheme of things, whether how fast City are going to dominate and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, just to add as well, yeah, like Pep was saying just before that Bayern Munich game, the day before, he wants to manage Haaland's injury as well, because he's I think Haaland's been doing like a solo fitness thing just to keep getting himself ready for the new season. And I think, you know, obviously he's going to watch him and be too careful, not put too much pressure on Erling Haaland. And, you know, one injury to Haaland, we know he's had his injuries and he's out for quite a few months, you know, that's City. Like, oh no, what we're going to do? So they want to manage him well. Pep, he's a smart manager. He'll want to be careful with him. But yeah, like I say, you know, in FPL, he's like just under 60%. I think everyone's going to have him in his teams, obviously. But I think you'd be crazy to go without him, even for game week one. I think he scored already on his first game, on his debut, gets Bayern Munich. You know, if this guy stays fit, you know, it's coming from a Liverpool fan, you know, City could be up, well, obviously could win the title, but I think it's going to be close once again, neck and neck.
Yeah, I think Suresh pointed out something very much correctly. Like, I think even in Athletic, we've kind of read that they're going to ease in Haaland, they're going to take 4 or 5 weeks for him to get adjusted to the Premier League. And, you know, he has his own training and fitness regime that Pep is taking care of. And I think, yeah, he did score against Bayern. I think that was again today. And I think he said that this was the first time he won against Bayern or something. So I think he's kind of very happy with that. And I think we've spoken more about Haaland and Man City, but we want to cover Liverpool now. So let's go on to the fixtures. I mean, like, I think it just speaks itself, right? To play Fulham, Palace, United, Bournemouth, Newcastle, Everton, Wolves, and then Chelsea. And I think let's not dwell a lot on this. Let's just quickly go on to, rather, I would say, players to target, because we have some questions regarding tripling up Liverpool home to pick and not. So again, who are the must-haves, differentials, hidden gems, and the ones to avoid?
So the must-haves, I say Trent and Salah, for what they do every season. Mo Salah, along with Kevin De Bruyne, are both the GOATs, should I like to call them, of the Premier League. But Mo Salah, he's got to be in your team. I know a lot of people looking at Diaz as an alternative, saving that money. But I think, like I said about going without Haaland, I think people are very bold. You know, it's crazy going out Mo Salah. He's going to be up there again, going for that golden boot. He takes penalties as well. Trent, we know what he can do. Same as Robertson as well. But I feel like, obviously, Trent and Salah must-haves. I think 7.5 for Trent is a decent, nice price. And I feel what Trent can do, he can just bomb up that field, do some good crossing, takes corners on the one side, takes free kicks shared with Salah. He's dangerous. He's dangerous, Trent. So I'd say they're the two must-haves. Just if people are looking at Diaz, some people are thinking of going down from Diaz to Robbo, saves them a million, then fair enough. Talk about maybe double Liverpool defence, Trent and Robbo. Some people thinking of jumping on that. I don't hate that. I like it. Fixtures wise, you know, we've got a decent run, nice run. It's all about if we just keep those clean sheets and, you know, what Trent can do, Robertson can do as well. But the only thing I'd be worried about with Robertson is maybe rotation with Tsimikas, like I was mentioning earlier. I personally wouldn't be as keen on going for someone like Robertson as well, just because of there is rotation, and you know, we've seen how good Tsimikas is when he does start, and Klopp really does like him. So, like I said about Calvin Ramsey, it's going to take a long, long time for this guy to settle in and see how he does. He's going to probably get cup matches in the League Cup, Calvin Ramsey. So, I wouldn't worry about Trent being rotated that much in the league as much as Robertson. So, to me, the must-haves, Trent and Salah, get them in your teams and just set and forget, because they're Trent and Salah. They're just so good every season. Gems-wise, I think Diaz could be a gem, you know, filling in that spot for Mane, being that regular starter. He'll get more starts than Nunes. I wouldn't see his spot being rotated as much, but we did talk about Jota. But I feel like Diaz, what he can do, did in his first half of the season when he came in January. He settled in so quickly. He adapted so well to the league. Did well in the Champions League as well. So he could be a nice gem. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it with
the players. What's the upside of someone like Diaz? You know, how many points do you think he'll get? You know, 160, 180, 200? Do you think he'll cross 200?
I think he could reach 200, but I think this season, I think he'll just finish under 200. I think maybe going for 200 might be pushing it a bit. But I think maybe somewhere to like 160 to 175 is reasonable, I'd say, probably.
Question is, when you look at this third asset, right, every one of them is good, right? Be it Diaz, you know he will do well. He's part of the attack. Someone like Robertson is known to give you 170, 180 punts, and he's 1 million cheaper. Right? Looking purely from price point, one person that I never get to hear about is someone like Alisson. Right? I know premium goalkeeper is not something people love, but he's a 5.5 million player who gave you 175 points last year. Right? He was just 10 points behind someone like Robertson. So, if you're looking at a ceiling of, say, 180 for a Diaz, right, I would say, why not Robertson? And then if you're going for Robertson, why not Alisson? I think these are very interesting conversations to have. I know it impacts your structure a bit, but at the end of the day, Liverpool players are set and forget players for me. I'm not looking, you know, to get them and sell them out during my wildcard one. They are going to stay right from day one to day 38, or to week one to week 38, right? So if that's the point, I would just look at people who will give me maximum returns with smaller price points. What do you think?
Yeah, but Yeah, one interesting thing I want to point out in that, you know, if it is a regular season, we look at that long stretch of, you know, players that we hold on to for a continuous period of time. But given that this particular season, we have this additional break in between and there is an extra wildcard sorts of things to play around, we necessarily need not commit to a particular player long-term and stuff, right? We can chop and change. At the same time, it's equally good asset. I get your point, definitely. You try and get the maximum out of a player with a lesser budget, which makes sense, but not necessarily we need to fixate with that. I think this season, that it gives us an opportunity to play around. You know, you can try a different combination. You know, even someone can even risk it out without going, you know, going for Salah, at least for the first four, five games, probably.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see. I mean, with an extra wildcard, obviously, there's a lot of options for us. But even then, I would still use that wildcard to get the best players, right? If Liverpool players are the best players for me, I'll not wildcard them out. I will move around the rest 7-8 players. Right? That's the idea with which I'm going. I might sell Salah, but Salah and Trent for me feel like even when the fixtures get tough, you know Salah scores against City as well, right? Why will you sell him out? Trent gives you a free kick goal against Arsenal away, right? So why will you sell him out? These are premium players. And the problem here is someone like Trent, right? You buy him at 7.5. He's already underpriced. You know, given his ownership, he will shoot up to 8, 8.2 by the time your first wildcard comes. If you sell him, you're going to buy him back at 8.2 million. You're not going to buy him back at 7.5 million. That's where the problem is. Salah, I can understand because I don't think there'll be a lot of price rise given he's already at 13.5 is the max. But with someone like Trent, someone like Alisson, they will cross that 0.7 mark. They'll make you pay extra bucks if you want to buy them back.
Definitely. Yeah, that's a valid point. Yeah.
So I think we have a few questions here and there. So I think that this one which we kind of speaking about, what's spot one is Salah, spot two is Trent. Who would be spot three? That's Dunez, Robertson, Diaz, or even Robertson versus Luis Diaz.
What was the question again? Want to bring?
Yeah. So Varun had a question like spot one was
Salah,
spot two is Trent. Spot three, he needs one from this. I think he said Robertson, Diaz towards the end.
Not Nunes for now. I think it's just like it says, wait and see, mate. With the whole Robertson, like I said, with Tsimikas, there will be probably rotation. But we know what Robertson can do when he does start. He can challenge Trent. He can match what he can do. I personally would say, saves you a million. And this is what happens. This is what's going all over Twitter with Robertson versus Diaz debate. It's like Kane versus Son and everything. It's very annoying. This is why I can't wait until the season starts because I'm overthinking everything. I think if you want to save some money and then you want to upgrade in other places, you feel like to strengthen the team, your rest of your team more, then go for Robertson. But I know how good Diaz is as a player. I don't think Diaz is a must-have like Trent and Salah. You know, Diaz has been priced at a lovely price. I was over the moon when he was priced at what he is now, when they came out. You know, being up there with Madison, Foden, Mahrez, Kulu, you know, Mount, so many, you know, Saka, 8 million gems out there. I would probably say if you're confident we can keep going for the clean sheets and you're confident that Robertson is going to keep starting and we know what Robertson can do, attack and returns, then go for Robertson because we know once he gets a clean sheet, you know, he could get assists. He could be in the bonus as well. Robertson is usually in the bonus and he could do better than Diaz in most weeks. And I think maybe going for Robertson isn't a bad shout. Saves you a million. So go for Robertson as that third spot guy.
One thing I want to add, I saw this analysis, I think Big Man Bucker, he shared it. Once Diaz came into picture, Robo's returns shot up. You know, the kind of positioning they interplayed, Robertson started entering a lot into the box and he scored a couple of goals as well towards the end of last season, right? My point would be very simple. If you're looking for a short-term asset, you can very well start with Diaz because you can, you know, move around to a Mount or a Saka. But if you're looking for a long-term asset, start with Robertson. He's tried and tested. He gives you similar points, you know, for 1 million less. Why, you know, overthink it?
Yep.
Yeah, so I think this is a United fan who's kind of given a few comments here and there. I think there's, I'm conflicted over Nunes. I will want to see him become a shield. I think, yeah, probably this is a very fair statement because next week's game is probably will be more competitive. It's probably what we can say, the final round of the preseason games, and the Community Shield is always seen as the final preseason game that teams play with a lot of intensity. So I think this game will probably give us a better answer for both Man City and Liverpool. So I think this is something that is fair. That's what even Calvin said towards the start. And there was one more something question which I saw down. If I missed out, guys, have you seen anything else? I think here's one, same from the Quab. I see Liverpool struggling this year.
Nah.
I don't see it. It might happen and you get lucky, but I don't see it.
That's coming from a Man United fan. That's coming from
exactly. I was going to say that it could be the other way around. You know, United fans need to watch out what they say, to be honest. Yeah.
I've had a few friends, a few mates who don't support Liverpool saying that as well. And they're being serious. And I just think, like I said, you know, City going there, they're all about money, aren't they? They're buying Haaland and all that. I mean, we're spending big as well. We bought Nunes in and quite a bit of money. But like I said, I still think the top two challenging for the title. I can't see anyone else strong enough at this moment, manager-wise and stuff. I think Spurs will be up there. Like, they got fourth spot last season. But I like to see a bit more from them. I like to see them play more tougher teams. I like to see them... At the moment, I'm just not that convinced with Spurs, but I'm not ruling them out. I think they'll definitely be in the top four once again, for sure. But I want to see a bit more. But I think the top two, going at the top, neck and neck, Liverpool City, once again.
So next, I'll pull up this one comment from Surya. Suresh, Man United not getting priority here. Don't worry, Surya, we saved the best for the last... Because we are bad. We were bad last season. So we've kept, you know, in that order. Don't feel bad. It's just a joke. So next, we are indeed. We are going to Manchester United. Erik ten Hag's Manchester United. Finally, United have got a manager who plays with an identity. We have a style of play that we play. Similar to Pep is what I would say. Like, we play, what is it? Positional play. And
I mean, many compare him with Klopp. The way... he takes the game and stuff. Yeah. But it's too early days, you know, to judge him with all the preseason and stuff. It's going to take a little bit of time. In terms of arrivals, you know, be it Malaysia, Eriksen or Martinez, both Eriksen and Martinez aren't available for us for the preseason. You know, we hadn't even competed with their transfers fully. So Malaysia is going to be more of a, you know, support for Shah, understudy, and then slowly integrated, you know, into our lineups in the cup games or in the Europa games, probably. That's how he's going to embed into the team. But I don't see him getting a start straight away. When it comes to Eriksen and Martinez, at least to begin, you know, the season, I don't see them starting because they aren't here yet. They aren't part of the preseason squad. It's going to take a little while. But Eriksen is someone I'm really excited about. You know, out of all the signings that we have done in the recent past, even last year, I was not this happy even for a signing like Sancho last year. So Eriksen is someone I personally liked, be it when he was at Spurs and, you know, he moved elsewhere and whatever has happened to him personally and the way he has come back and stuff. So Eriksen is someone really close to my heart kind of a player. I'm really excited to, you know, wait and watch him, the kind of position that he's going to play for us. That's going to be really key. We have lacked that kind of a creative player. Though Bruno is some sort of, you know, was managing to do that, but he's not out and out creative player. He's more of an aggressive, you know, once he gets the ball, he wants to drive it up, you know, quick shooting, long range shooting and stuff. But Eriksen is someone, this kind of a player we lacked for a very long time. So I want to see how he's going to fit into us, how many minutes he's going to get. All that is going to be really exciting. And Martinez, to be honest, I haven't watched much of Martinez at Ajax, but the comments, I really like what Ten Hag is giving about him. He's referred him as a warrior of sort. So we really lack that warrior kind of a defender. The last known warrior for me is Nemanja Vidic. He's someone with that sort of a charisma. You know, I really have to wait and watch to see what kind of a play Martinez brings in. But with his previous manager, the current manager, Ten Hag, you know, describing him as a warrior, I really like to see how he's going to fit in alongside, you know, be it Maguire or who will the other centre back that he's going to, you know, take the side with. So that's kind of a, you know, summary of what we have got so far. What do you think about the new signings, Aditya?
Yeah, so I think as a host, I'll take the privilege of also being United fan to speak more here at this point. But yeah, I mean, like Tyrell Malacia is someone who really impressed most of us who have watched the preseason games. And I think Shaw will be given the priority, and he's someone who's experienced enough, who has played in the Premier League over the last few seasons. So I think he will be someone who will be starting regularly. Malacia is somewhere more of a cover, but also will play most of the games. But Shaw is someone who needs to play to keep up his spot in the World Cup. So yeah, so Shaw has more, you know, things to play for. So Shaw is someone who will play. Malacia will cover up, but also will play. Christian Eriksen is someone who might play as a deep-lying playmaker, as you were saying, with someone in a midfield three. So maybe teams that sit back and play low block, we kind of will expect Eriksen to kind of play in those games and see that United push go forward and have more attempts. Regarding Lisandro Martinez, so he's someone who's signed from Ajax for about 55 million is what we're hearing. And he's someone who's known as the Butcher and has performed well last few seasons in Ajax, also in Champions League. And he's one of some rated defenders in terms of, you know, all the stats, what they call. But yeah, he's good. It's because we have not watched him, but as far as what we're hearing, as what we have read, we're assuming the fact that Martinez is great. And also his left-footed centre-back that United have always lacked over the last few seasons. We've always been linked with Paul Torres and all those other left-footed centre-backs. And we were playing with Maguire, Lindelof, Maguire, Bailly, Maguire, Varane, and there was not someone naturally playing in that particular left-sided centre-back spot. So I think someone coming, Martinez, can also play as a centre-back, also as a midfielder. A lot of rumblings of transfer windows here and there, and there was some comment here which I saw below that transfer interest, I would like to add it here, would it be Anthony or Dumfries? So this is some... We've not managed to get De Jong itself in the first place, which has been dragging on for about 70 odd days or so, and we're talking about players from other clubs that were linked for the last few weeks. I think we've just got three. Ronaldo is about to leave. We don't know what is going to happen.
Let me add.
No, I don't even want to get into the transfers thing. You know, that's a never ending saga with United. I think it's better we move to the next section.
I want to add one thing as an Arsenal fan, because, you know, the playing style is fairly similar. You know, what Pep had, something Arteta wanted to bring to Arsenal. So I think United will embark on a similar journey. One thing when it comes to Malacia, right? Be it Pep, be it Arteta, they really like to complement, you know, overlapping fullback with an underlapping fullback, right? That's one style that you normally see with these philosophies, right? So on the right side, I see Dalot, you know, starting a lot. If someone like Dalot is starting, you might see Malacia come in sooner than people expect. But if you feel that Saw really picks it up, and Saw definitely has a lot to lose, he really picks it up, then someone like Dalot might lose out, and you again have your other right back who's an underlapping right back coming. Visaka. So something like this might happen. You know, something that we have not thought of, but it's good to keep an eye out, because there are 4.5 million defenders. And, you know, at some point of time, United defense will settle down. So these might be, you know, one of the two choices that you might pick out from.
I mean, yeah, to quickly definitely. Add about Wan-Bissaka is one thing, that he's someone who's looking to leave is what we're hearing. And it's, I think he might head back to Palace is what all the rumblings has been going on over the last few days or so. I don't know how credible they are. And then today morning, we were getting something about Serginho test again from Barcelona. I don't know why United are just after Barca, so many players here and there. But yeah, I think Malacia is someone who will play a key role later. But Shaw is the one I think is clearly going to play. I think the next preseason game against Madrid in Oslo is where you'll see United's proper 11, and that's how you'll know So style of play, what have you seen so far, Suresh? What has impressed you so far?
Comparatively, from a formation. So from a formation perspective, it's nothing new. Ten Hag has been playing what United has been playing, for the past couple of seasons, but from a formation perspective. But from a style of play, we've seen how demanding he is so far, be it the training drills or the way players train and the way he wants to build it, the possession-based football and the high-press football that he wants to showcase. That's something which is really interesting, the way the players build. From the back, from the center backs transitioning into the attack. So that's something really interesting, how the players are going to adapt. That's something which is going to be really, really challenging in terms of the training drills, as I mentioned. That's the way people are going to adapt, how quickly we are going to adapt. In preseason has been exciting. I'm not going to lie. It's getting me all the hopes once again. But I don't want to get too excited as well. And, I don't want to lose sight of what we are trying to build. It's going to take a long while. But otherwise, it's going to be a possession-based football, high-press football. That's something I expect going forward in the next, the first few games is really going to be interesting. And we play Liverpool in game week 3. So that's a huge challenge. Whatever the preseason that we have played, that's not even a comparison. That's something we play like probably the third or fourth category of Liverpool team. So I don't want to take that into consideration and go into the season. But it is exciting so far. But I'll keep my hopes low to begin with. But yeah, let's see how things pick up as we go.
Indeed, we should not get ahead of ourselves. I mean, the first line itself in this number shows you kept 8 kicks, the fifth worst. Whereas the other two teams, I had put the best, but I had to put the worst because I couldn't put best because you were way below. And again, I'm taking a dig, but we'll see what happens. I think most of this number will just say Cristiano Ronaldo. It is just screaming that because of the amount of attempts, amount of goals, amount of points, everything. But he's looking to leave is what we are hearing. So, some numbers on the screen for.
What do you guys want? Do you guys want Ronaldo to leave or do you want him to stay? That's even a contention.
I personally want him to leave. That's not going to. I'm a guy who at the first place didn't want him here, so that's a whole different thing. So yeah, if he wants to leave, which is certainly to do so, he is pretty much mindset to leave. I definitely wanted him to leave. The only thing is that he could have probably, told this entire thing a little early so that, we had time to look out for options and stuff. That's the only factor, but he certainly looks to be leaving.
Aditya, what's your thoughts?
Well, if he wants to leave, let him leave. If he wants to stay, let him stay. I'm not Richard Arnold. I can't do anything at this point. But we've been hearing that he did inform United something towards the end of last season, once the season was done, that he was looking at other options because United failed to get in the Champions League spot. And he's someone who feels that his standards are high and he doesn't want his standards to drop. And he expected United to be pretty much in the same level as what he's looking to be, what his ambitions are. But I think probably doesn't want to play Europa League football. So probably that's what is hinting him or hinting us that he might leave. And the two possible suitors for him are possibly Atletico Madrid and Bayern, but we don't know. He might end up also staying. So we never know. Until probably the last day of the window, we don't know whether Ronaldo saga, what's going to happen. But if he does leave, we might see someone join in the offense because we're not sure, because the front three is very depleted and we don't have experienced players. I mean, the second half against...
There's literally no backup.
That's what. So I think you can walk us through the results and then we'll look at the numbers, like the players that have performed so far.
Yeah, I mean, so far the preseason really started off in a very exciting way. The numbers seem to be a thrashing 4-0 victory over Liverpool. But if someone is just reading the numbers, that's not really going to help. What sort of a team we played, that matters a lot. So, but overall, so far, the preseason has been good, be it with Liverpool, the Melbournes, or the Palace game also. But we felt a tad bit of the previous United in the last game versus Villa. You know, the first half was contrastingly different to the second half. First half, we started off really well, you know, good possession-based football, high press. Villa were hardly able to get the ball. But it was a, if you cut to the second half, it was a complete drastic change, you know. Still, we had the core team around, let's say, 60, 65 minute point. So that was a contrast difference that I saw in terms of what I've been seeing in the last year or year and a half, the previous season of United. So that slightly gave me a little bit of worry, you know, that kind of indicated me that I need to be grounded, you know, don't get too excited about all your preseason and stuff. So that really speaks volumes in terms of how we want to take these into considerations, how we want to improve on a day-to-day basis, game by game, you know, that's how it is going to be.
And sorry to keep comparing it with Arsenal, but one thing I remember from Arteta's, you know, first half of the season when he joined us in winter, was initial five games, we went full on heavy press. And something that the players had never done. So 45 minutes we used to do heavy press and then 45 minutes we used to sit back. But then once the COVID struck and then we came back, we saw that Arteta modified because he could understand the players will not be able to sustain that press. They are never played in this kind of football. So you might see a bit of change as the season progresses because it's not easy for players who are just not used to this playing style.
Yeah, I think... No, just one point. So on top of we don't have the sort of backup options either. You know, if Ronaldo is also leaving and we don't get any sort of, you know, replacement for him, let's assume. So the front three, as Aditya pointed out earlier, it's very depleted. If you want to sub out, you know, one attacking replacement for the front three, it's immediately Elanga. So we have fallen that deep, you know, we have to rely on someone like from our youth, you know, academy player who though had played a little bit of part in the last season. But the backup options is really, really thin. Probably Eriksen could play, you know, we can push him to play on the front three, but that will be too much of an ask. Probably I would prefer him in a deep playmaking kind of a role or a number six kind of a number eight kind of a role. So that's the kind of, you know, demanding challenges that we have. Though we wish to play a high press, high metal football, we have very less options.
Can I just jump in? I just think we were talking about earlier. I think we're fair. I think with Man United, I could see, you know, now they've got like a permanent manager. It's not someone who's an interim manager with Ralph. With Ronaldo looking more than likely going, I think you're going to have a more better season than last season. I feel like players like Sancho, Rashford there, you've got experience with a bit more, you know, with Eriksen, where if he's going to start, but you've got him. I honestly feel that you guys are going to be a lot better team. I think last season, you didn't need to re-sign, you know, Ronaldo, bring him back to Old Trafford, a 36-year-old man. I feel like what you need to do last season, well, you need a permanent manager. You need, after getting rid of Ollie, but you need to concentrate on bringing up that young lads. You know, Alanga's there. You know, you got Rashford. You give a bit more time. Should have maybe kept Martial, not loaned him out to Sevilla. I just think you guys signing Ronaldo last season was just a big red flag. It was because you're playing around him. He did fantastic. He was scoring the goals, but there was no proper chemistry. There was a lot of fallouts, a lot of egos. And I think that's where you guys went wrong last season. This season, get rid of Ronaldo. You've got a permanent manager now. One of the best out there in the world, what he's done with Ajax and everything. And he knows what he's doing. He knows who he wants to bring in. He knows who he wants to use in the team. And I feel like this team is probably going to be a lot more happier. This squad of players a lot more happier once Ronaldo goes, because there's not going to be any egos or concentrating around one person to get the goals and stuff and egos and stuff. So, I think with the players you've got, maybe depth-wise, maybe sign another, get someone else in, maybe to just boost that depth a bit more. But I feel like you're making, you know, a decent recruitment. You've got those young players that deserve to have game time more than Ronaldo. you know, like I said, Alanga and stuff, and see how they do. Sancho was brilliant at Dortmund before he moved to Manchester United. And it's good to see, even though I'm a Liverpool fan, it's good to see Sancho scoring in pre-season, scoring goals, and because I've always been a big fan of him. He, you know, when he was at Dortmund, he's just a wonderful player, and he deserves to start games. He deserves to score goals, and I feel we're going to see a lot more of a happier Manchester United squad come this season.
Very high optimistic views from a Liverpool fan.
There you go. I'll say something nice about Man United for you.
Next, I think let's go to fixtures. I mean, like, I did see one comment saying somewhere about the fixtures that not interested in based on United. You have to wait and watch it. Not, yeah, that's fine. If you're a United fan, you'll be optimistic to get double up, triple up United players, either get burnt or be happy with the points. So what do you think, Suresh? What do we do with the fixtures here?
Yeah, I mean, it's a mixed bag of fixtures, you know. If we don't have a very straightforward run for the likes of Liverpool or City or Arsenal or even Spurs for that matter, you know, the weightage would have spread or people would be more inclined to take a little bit of risk here and there. Given that we have all these top four sides have really good fixtures, you know, it is too much of an ask, you know, if you want to take this much of a risk going down and picking a Man United asset. So from a fixture wise, it's a mixed bag fixture. The first two seems to be okay. And the game week three, obviously, I don't expect much out of that game, to be honest. Southampton is another good fixture, sandwiched between Arsenal and, sandwiched between Liverpool and Leicester on the either side. So it's a mixed bag. So I would be very cautioned in the approach I take in terms of getting United players, both with fixtures.
If we are going there, who's the one or two we should look at?
Okay, I think I have three players, as Aditya is asking. Probably the top target I have seen so far on be it FPL Twitter and stuff. Given the price of Rashford, 6.5, I think most of the guys are going, you know, the route of Rashford because it is very cheap. You don't want to take that much of a risk. But for me, it is Martial, who's someone really exciting. You know, I wanted to risk it out with Martial if I wanted to take a punt on United with the games that we have. Probably 4-5 game week slot, barring the Liverpool game, we can expect something. He is, when he gets going, he's some player who we cannot stop. So he had a scintillating 2020, that COVID season where he had 20 plus attacking return himself and Rashford. But I'm still not convinced with Rashford. Rashford is, he's lacking that confidence since last season. He hasn't been the sort of player that he was for us. The huge drop that translated into his FPL price as well, rightly so. There's a huge drop from 9.5 million to 6.5. So for me, if you want to punt on a player, it'll be Martial. And the second best would be Sancho. And if a little hidden gem, then I think Diogo Dalot would be a great enabler. You know, I don't expect much of, clean sheet. Let's say out of five games, let's say 5-6 games, probably 2-3 clean sheets at max. That's the best you can ask for with relatively easier fixtures. But the link up between Dalot and Sancho so far on the right hand side, that looks really complementing each other. They really look having a good connection. So that is something which can come into play, odd assist here and there, probably along with one or two clean sheets. That can really help. For a 4.5, you can definitely not go wrong with Dalot. So these two or three players you can watch out for, but approach with caution would be my take on that.
I will think of only one player at max to start with, but I also really like your point. Martial is someone I'm looking at primarily because midfield there are options, someone like Martinelli, you have Neto, right, who are cheaper as well compared to Rashford and better fixtures, but Martial really helps you balance that freemium model that you want to bring in, right? Sure. At 7 million is the guy who you can keep, and you can go for a Ken, Sun, and Salah, you know, someone like that, right? So that really helps, and it's something that I'm thinking of starting off.
I'm similarly in your thought process. The only caveat for many who might consider Martial would be like giving up Jesus' slot. So that's the slot he might have to sacrifice. So that's the big call many might have to take, whether to, you know, give up on Jesus and go for someone like a Martial and compensate that with a Martinelli or a Saka. So that's sort of a you know, thing which we have to do. But yeah, approach with caution. That would be good, you know.
Yeah, so there are a couple of comments that I would like to pin on screen. You know, the first one is what I've seen is that we have been constantly only speaking about Rashford, Martial, Sancho, Dalot, Shaw, a few of the fullbacks just for the sake of offensive, and three, the front three. But all of us have forgotten one guy, two players. One is Ronaldo, is about to leave, so no point of speaking.
Probably.
Other is Bruno Penandes, Fernandes, whatever the rival fans want to call. So this is one pretty interesting comment. Where is all the Bruno love? He could still click on Erik ten Hag, or maybe someone might play well later.
Yeah, so, see, the only problem with Bruno is that the price segment, you know, he's sitting at a very odd price segment. So that's where all the trouble comes in. There's absolutely no hate or anything for Bruno. I absolutely love the guy. You know, he's going to be a huge part in Ten Hag's plan and, you know, the way we're going to play. But from an FPL perspective, I don't think so. You know, you can do a whole lot with that money, at least to begin with.
Tell us a bit about his positioning. How did he play, you know, under this ETH games, you know, preseason games? Because we did not see him a lot in the returns point of view. I don't think he was there in goals and assists, but how did he play overall?
I mean, he pretty much played the number 10 kind of a role still, you know, with the formation that he has. But, you know, from a front three attacking perspective, it was all about Martial, you know, Rashford and Sancho. So he wasn't, there were a couple of incidents where he was not lucky. But on the larger scheme of things, he was still someone who was creating chances, you know, doing all sort of link up between the midfield and the attack. But it didn't basically translate into attacking returns during the preseason. But he's someone really is going to be a very important player, the role that he is going to play. But my only challenge would be, you know, the price point that he is at from an FPL perspective.
So the next comment I see is from Surya, and I know Sankalp was there towards the end of last season's one of the podcasts, and he had Ronaldo, and we all had Fernandes. He got haul from Ronaldo, and so one thing, Sankalp, just let us know which United player are going to pick. We'll also go with the same one this time. So I'm going to pin this one. There is no one better than Sankalp to get points out of Man United players in FPL.
Yeah, last season, to be honest, it was a lot of fun picking Ronaldo as asset, especially the Old Trafford matches. I remember, you know, captaining him two, three times and got a lot of returns. My take is currently, you know, I'm starting with someone like Martial primarily this season because I know I want to balance my premium model. I want to start with Salah, Kane and Son, who can move to a KDB, say, in game week 2. You know, that's the thought I have in mind currently. And if Ronaldo does not come in soon to training, I think I'll definitely go there. But like others, I want to see Sancho, how he's doing, because I feel over the season, he will be the prime asset to target. I don't know how I'll be able to do that, when I'll be able to do that, but he'll be someone that I'll always have my eyes on.
Okay, another one. This is for Calvin. Fill up your bottle. Don't get dehydrated. I know there's a heat wave going on. You're seeing a lot of stuff on news. And it, yeah, hope the weather is kind of going back to normal. I saw somewhere it was raining. I saw in Southampton, there's a game against South Africa that I think is washed out or something. So,
how's the weather there, mate? Calvin?
Say that again, sorry.
How's the weather there?
How's things with the heat waves?
Yeah. A couple of days ago, it was really, really unbearable. We're not used to it in the UK, hot weather. We just have like one day of summer, and then the next day, it's just like raining and then a storm and the next day it's snowing. Well, it's not snowing, but it's typical British weather. So don't ever come over to UK to live here. It's if you don't want that sort of weather.
Okay, then. So most of us are definitely stuck on Anthony Martial as one of our possible forward options. Yeah, that was, I think, the Project Restart, where United fans called him as the NHS Martial, because we all had, all the clubs had this logo of Lau NHS, and it was Martial was completely on fire. So they called it NHS Martial. Once he's back, we are going to be back. And I think Martial has been playing well. And we've also heard a lot of reports from journalists who have been seeing the training, some quotes from here and there saying that Martial was one of the laziest players in trainings. He's always been. But this time under Ten Hag, he has taken a lot of feedback, taken it in a very positive manner. He's implementing a lot of whatever Ten Hag has been saying. And that's why we're able to see probably a rejuvenated Martial, someone who is happy, a fresh and a positive Martial. And that's what we are probably hoping. To run out of players to target segment, that's Martial. Right on the screen, I just went with Martial. Even I have Rashford in my draft, and I had Watkins now. So I'm going to get rid of Watkins for Martial and just move on with Rashford. So that's just my draft update in terms of United. And in terms of a player, I think Luke Shaw is someone, because of the price tag, people are not kind of looking more at, right, because he's five. But I think with United playing more of a positional play and overload ball, wherein they're going to just dominate one side of the pitch and then move the ball from diagonal side and play a bit quicker. So we're going to see a lot of fullbacks, you know, overlapping. And Luke Shaw is someone who's going to benefit more. Dalot is someone who will improve, but I think if a right back leaves, like Wan-Bissaka, we might probably see another offensive right back. And I'm not sure about the right back spot, what might happen, but at the moment it's Dalot and Shaw. So I think some of my thoughts on United here. And then last, we'll go on to last but not the least. I think we had some prediction segment, is what I would say. So what we're going to basically do is we want each of you to predict the starting 11. It's a very early shout, who you think might play in the first game, the 11 players, and where do you expect your team to finish in the league. So I'll go with Arsenal again, so Sankar.
I think it will be the same that started early morning today against Chelsea. You will have Ramsdale in the goal, Zinchenko as the left back, Gabriel and Saliba as the center backing pair, and Ben White in the right-back position. You have Partey and Xhaka playing that, key midfield duo. And then up front, we'll have Martinelli, Odegaard, and Saka. And up front, we'll have Jesus. I think this is going to be the starting 11 for us when it comes to the match against Crystal Palace, right? But once Tierney comes back, once Tomiyasu comes back, that's when we'll see how things evolve. At the same time, we are also trying to add another couple of positions. I think from what I've read, we are looking for a left center midfielder and a wide attacking midfielder who can be backup to Saka. So the Xhaka position might be something that we might look at changing, but more or less, I would say, think of this as the first three games, lineup to begin with.
And Arsenal's finish in the league. I know this is just a prediction for us too, though. So laugh at it towards the end of the season. Hey, you got it wrong.
I feel we'll end up fourth. I think Chelsea might be the club to miss out, not because of today's fixtures, today's results, but overall, I feel they have not done enough to add to the team. They have lost core defensive, team. At the same time, up front, I find them very bare. Only Havertz playing the number 9 role. Spurs, while they have added decent players, I really like Conte as a coach. Right, he's a very strong coach. And I know Kane and Son are the two players who will continue playing well, right? So overall, I feel the Conte factor will ensure that they get into the third position. But I think Arsenal will push into the fourth position a bit comfortably against, when it comes to Chelsea or United.
Okay, there's one question here. Zinchenko option with and without Tierney. I think we've covered up somewhere at the start of the stream. So yeah, so that Zinchenko is a no-go at this point.
I would say just avoid, because he's a 5 million defender and he'll play inside. He'll not be giving you a lot of assists. I would say go with someone like White, Saliba for 4.5.
So, Sankal, okay. I had a question. So, I had a question. Probably I I should have asked you a little early. So with the role of Jesus and the popularity that you see in FPL, you know, he's going to play a different role than what Lacazette played, right? Lacazette was more of a guy who drops back, you know, creates chances or helps his midfielders and then, lifts the ball forward. But Jesus is not that kind of a player. So do you think someone like Odegaard, has more role to play this season than ever for you guys, creating as a central attacking midfielder? So do you see Odegaard as a differential option from an FPL perspective?
Yes, I would agree completely, because the games that we have seen in preseason, I think Odegaard is now picking up a lot more higher areas than he did last season, where, Lacazette used to drop deep, Odegaard used to drop deeper, and that's how the play used to begin. Now I saw for example, today's match, we saw Odegaard staying a bit higher. He's taking those number 10 and number 10 around positions. And he also scored a goal because he could run into the box because he was playing higher, right? So yes, definitely at some point of time, I'm sure Odegaard would come out as a really good differential option. At the same time, I would also look at someone like, Vieira, because he's known to take up these positions and score a lot of goals. I know he might not start, but I'm sure he might do something like ESR did, last season, first half, where he kept coming off the bench and kept scoring goals.
Got it.
Quickly, we are running out of time. We have come across the 90-minute mark, taking a lot of time. So quickly, Liverpool, Calvin, your predicted 11 and where are you going to finish?
Prediction 11. Oh my God. Alisson, Trent, Matip, Van Dijk and Robertson. I still think Matip's going to be over. You're starting over Konate, Matip and Van Dijk. Great partnership together. Midfield, Henderson being the captain, Fabinho, Thiago in there as well. Depends if we're going to go in the market for another midfielder. Front three, like I said, I see it being like Diaz, Nunes and Salah. Hopes for this season, I'd say top two, but I don't want to be like biased as hell and say we're going to win the league. It's going to be tough. So top two, that's my prediction for sure.
Okay, then Suresh, United, do the honours.
See, from a prediction point, it is more likely what we saw in the previous game. It's going to be De Gea, Dalot, Lindelof, Maguire, Shaw. The midfield to the pivot is what we are going to be seeing, whether it is, once again, McFred or it is Fred and Van de Beek. That's the kind of thing that I would want to see. And the front four is pretty much nailed. It is going to be Rashford, Bruno, Jaden and Martial. So that's pretty much how we're going to start. And in terms of position, that's something which is interesting. I would say, let me put my neck out and say fifth. I would be more than happy if we push one slot, up and finish on fifth. That would be a decent expectation for season.
To add to United, even I'll do the same. I have kind of two lineups. The one is more likely, which I feel might be the safer. It would be De Gea, Dalot, McGuire, Martinez and Shaw, Eriksen, Fred, Fernandes, and it's Sancho, Martial, Rashford. So this is what I think Eriksen and Martinez might straight away play. That's one. Or else you're going to see the default, the normal lineup. It's De Gea, Dalot, Lindelof, McGuire and Shaw, McTominay, Fred, Fernandes, and then Sancho, Martial and Rashford. So two lineups, but I think Martinez, Eriksen might just getting straight away. That's what I feel. Finish, I think, fifth is fine. Let's not get ahead of ourselves, is what I would like to say. And that is probably a proper closing in terms of United and in terms of the stream. Yes, Suresh is playing it safe. I think United fans need to play it safe because we shouldn't get ahead of ourselves. Then we'll get better towards the end. So that's it for this stream. We have covered up Liverpool, Arsenal and Manchester United. It's about 90 odd minutes of the court. It's more than what we initially thought. So I would like to thank each of our panelists for joining and taking out such important 90 minutes out of their busy Sunday schedule. And next week, next particular stream, we are going to get probably Wolves, Southampton, Chelsea and another team. And we'll probably keep you all posted. So that brings us to the end of the stream, this episode. Those are listening us onto audio platforms. And we'll see you all midday. Bye.